Hi, everybody. Good to see you again. Hope you had a nice lunch. The food was fantastic. That chicken salad was awesome. I know Paul Walker did a nice job of reminding us of the Doors earlier, and he quoted the song Light My Fire, referenced it at one point in his talk, and I'm sure you all know that song. But I don't know if you're familiar with the post-punk new wave version that came out from an artist in Germany in 1981 named Mobius, that I think brings a whole new insight to the songwriting. So I just want to play you 1 second of it to sort of get you in the post-lunch mood. This is Light My Fire, covered by Mobius in 1981. Now that is awesome. Even better than the chicken salad. I mentioned this morning that I was looking at a few different themes in these devotional talks that Paul brings us to look at in a verse from Galatians chapter 3. This morning we looked at profession. He talks about slave or free and the categories of how the world gauges you according to your profession and occupation. And then at the beginning, he talks about the difference between Jew or Greek being, in God's world, actually to be inconsequential. And I want to talk to you just a little bit about where you're from. You know, they say the difference between the North and the South. In the North, the first question a person asks you is, what do you do? And in the South, they ask you, where are you from? Where you're from is a question that people often turn to in trying to create an understanding of their own identity. And Paul had the uncharacteristic quality of the sort of early church in Christendom of being from a very prominent and well-respected background. You remember maybe when he said to one of the jailers, "Are you sure you want to whip a Roman citizen?" Remember that line? And a few weeks ago, Mockingbird interviewed a really prominent church planter. And in that interview, they were talking, you know, about how it's so hard to plant a church. And Paul did it so successfully. And it seems to be so heavily contingent upon the personality of the person doing the planting and not just the sufficiency of the message, unfortunately. Wouldn't it be great if it were just the message? The truth is the world seems to take other factors into account. And they were saying, but Paul supposedly was an uncompelling speaker. So what was it that gave him such traction? And Ethan suggested to the person he was interviewing, he said, well, I wonder if Paul just wasn't actually really good looking, right? I wonder where you're from. What's your pedigree? What are the aspects of your life that you appeal to in finding confidence? You know, what are the aspects of your life that give you a leg up over and above other people? Maybe it's your schooling or who you know or where you've been. But really, anytime you get into the realm of talking about prowess or expertise or authority, you're dealing with these same themes. And Paul, remember, was highly critical of the Judaizing faction in the Galatian church precisely because he understood where they were coming from. And then by contrast, he also understood the way in which the gospel completely levels those concerns. From the vantage point of the Christian faith, he saw that people do not actually exist in a spectrum of righteousness. We don't exist in relationship to God by degree of righteousness. There's just God and all of us. In Nadia Bolz-Weber's amazing book, Pastrix, she calls these inclinations that we all suffer from to create our own identity around varying degrees of qualification. a place where temptation, the kind that Jesus experienced in the desert, that we're thinking about this time of year in the church calendar, she said, wherever it is that you're dealing with ranking yourself in comparison to other people, you are being baited with temptation. And the former dean of the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, Frank Limehouse, posited the same idea in a sermon from about 2 years ago I want to close with. He said this, I can't tell you what the devil looks like. In my own mind, he wears red tights. Other than in the Garden of Eden, in which he's described as crafty and subtle, and in Ezekiel, where we're told that he was perfect in beauty, I can't talk much about what he looks like. But we can talk about how he operates. Interestingly, the devil doesn't come at you where you're weak. He's interested in your gifts and strengths, because that is where you are most vulnerable. The woman with a charming smile is tempted to get away with murder. The salesman with the gift of persuasion is tempted to take them for all they're worth. God, on the other hand, he goes on, is most interested in your weaknesses. And he said famously to St. Paul, my grace is sufficient for you because my power is made perfect in weakness. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that these ideas offer a very helpful reality check to the games that most of us spend a lot of time playing in our heads and on Instagram and on Facebook and in conversation with people we're just meeting for the first time. And what we need is to take ourselves a little less seriously. And the gospel frees us to do it. Amen.